The question I've been asked many times, what is the purpose of life? What is man? What is the universe? And what is cosmic? I will endeavor to try to answer these questions to the best of my ability. Life, in the first place, is life. While we know in the process of life, or have been taught, that there is a death, that people and forms die.
And then we're having offspring.
But how could life itself die? Life is life, and that's all it is. Jesus said, as death came by man, so must life come by man. Job said, what you fear shall come upon you. Well, if we take these two statements and analyze them carefully, we shall get an answer that would give us the reason for the debt that we know. As I said before, life cannot die unto itself. So death must be a misconception perpetuated by man that did not quite understand life or the purpose of life or the purpose of himself. Therefore, he saw about him forms like that of his own come and go. Not only did he see the human forms do that, but he also saw other forms come and go. And he considered that as death. In many cases, there are people that believe when you once live and die, you're dead forever. In other cases, we find people that believe in some hereafter, like our churchianity. They hope for the future somewhere else. As a result, they perpetuated a heaven. For the good people, and hell for the bad people. In other cases again, they have perpetuated a spirit world where you float around with no trees to land on or nothing, for space is space. And the spirit world could not be anywhere else but in space, no different than our planet is rolling through space. Others again perpetuated the idea of reincarnation, a rebirth, into another form somewhere else or back here. The Christian doctrine speaks of it in the name of resurrection. The word resurrection means returning, being resurrected back to life. Reincarnation means the same thing. Two different parts of the world believed in the same thing but named it differently. The Eastern philosophy and the Western philosophy. So we'll try to analyze this best we know how. Job says, that which you fear shall come upon you. Man fears death, and so it comes upon him. Jesus says that life was eternal, that death came by man, not by God. Therefore, it's a man's duty to perpetuate life if you wish to live, and not look forward to death as an end. Now let us analyze the condition as we find it in nature. Nature is nothing more or less than a God's own creation. The great supreme being have created all that we see and that we'll ever know or know now, including our own forms. If the Creator created this world, then it must be equally as great and holy as He Himself is. For what else could He create but what He Himself represents? This is again a statement in the Bible. Says, swear not by the earth, for that's the Father's footstool, nor by the heavens, which is the sky or space, for that's His throne. Does a man walk with his head in the ground? Or does he walk with his feet upon the earth and his head above the earth? And his head represents the intelligence, the power to do, the power of creation. So it is with God. Therefore, if we take this statement as it is in the Bible, then we are now living in the holy presence of the Creator's own works, or His manifestation, which is the earth and all things upon it, and you and I, the highest expression of His intelligence. Remember, the earth has been here for millions and billions of years. Many civilizations have come and many civilizations have gone. But still, people are here, of forms like yours and our mine. Even in that state, the human life is perpetual. For you may say, well, I give my life unto my son or my daughter, and she gives it unto her son and to her daughter, and so down the line. In that case, even you are perpetuated constantly on this earth. But that's not the individuality. And we here are to question the individuality. Do you and I, as we, know each other? What about it? Where do we wind up is that? As we are today expressing almost the total ability of our mentality or the ego, we are nowhere. For if a man, as we know him today, was created perfect in the beginning, in the body, in intelligence, or in spirit, he would not be learning today. There wouldn't be no need for his learning. He would know it all. Yet the scripture tells you, man, know thyself, you shall know all things. Which means only but one thing, that the body has been created as an instrument of expression, a perfect. The mind, the ego, has to learn that perfection. In that body lies an intelligence that we have never thought of. For instance, and this human body represents all other forms, lesser forms in nature that serves this human body or the man. There is no one on earth today, and there was no one on earth before this time, that could tell you how a form is formed within a form after conception takes place. No such an intelligence exists in the human mind. Yet you must admit that your daughter, your son, or all humanity had proceeded through that channel and are walking the earth as you and I do. That some form of intelligence independent of the human mind knew how to create an image in the likeness of yourself, within yourself. It was not your mind. To your mind, even this is a mystery. Why? Because it does not understand the process of creation. It must learn. And it's here to learn. Only to learn all that is great intelligence that produces, that reproduces an image in your likeness, in your image, like yourself, is really understood and known by this ego, or you call the mind, the sense man. So it is learning. And since this sense man doesn't know all the answers as yet, he perpetuates fears. He perpetuates fears of the things unknown to him. He perpetuates an ending. He being an effect of this great intelligence, like all other forms are, he takes the law of least resistance, and he follows other forms, other pattern after himself. He sees them go down. He sees others like him go down. He calls that debt. But is that really a debt, or is it a transformation from a worn-out form to another form? How can this great intelligence that reproduced in one's body an image of oneself, known as a son or a daughter, ever die? It cannot. But like homes, houses, you build one at a particular time. Later, you learn the many needs and improvements that you could put into it. So the next one you will build, build with all those improvements so that you will be able to express yourself in a wider field of your ability of expression in that house where you were not in the first house. And so forms do go down only for other forms to take their place. But the dweller within that form is still the same one. This is where eternity comes in. So when it comes to the end, or so-called debt, there is really none. Only misconception on part of the mind that doesn't understand life. You can elaborate on this point from now till doomsdays, and you will see the great law and the great intelligence operating through a form known as a man and many other forms below the man. But a man, a human, is the only form known to have the ability to express the intelligence of his creator, while others have the ability to express intelligence of the Creator in a particular field that will serve the Creator's purpose. This is why a man today is but a half man. Half? Yes. He feels lonely even when he is in midst of company. He feels lonely even when he is loved. He feels lonely no matter where he goes, only because there is something that is lacking within him, which the mind conceives. In other words, the mind is not completely developed and is lacking that something, and that something causes to feel at loneliness or to be alone, even in the midst of company. That other part of this man is that part that is the intelligent part, which is capable of bringing him the son or daughter when nothing on else, no man on earth knows how to satisfy him in that way. Knows how to create a form in likeness in the image of himself. Just like God did, he created a man in the likeness in the image of himself. That part this man of today has not yet learned. He's separated himself from it through his mental involvement and neglecting to be guided by the hand that created that mentality. He's a sort of a prodigal son that is wandering around and knocking his head against every wall he hits, he comes in contact with, and wonders why in the purpose of life. The mind does not know it, but that which is the mother and the father of that mind, that at the conception have created the form in the mind, unbeknownst to other minds how it is to be done, is what he's seeking. He's looking at a great distance sometimes into the skies, into the heavens, into the stars, for that other part that may eliminate that lonely feeling within himself. But isn't there? It's right there within him or within his own form, which he fails to recognize. The mind cannot live by itself. The sense man cannot live by itself. For this withdraw that something we call consciousness from that form or that mind, and we call that death. The mind or the sense man cease to function. Yet you can withdraw the mind from the consciousness, leave it the consciousness without the mind. The consciousness goes on. The form that it occupies goes on living. There's a great difference between these two. And then, when we analyze it carefully, we must realize for the first time that the major part of man is that part which is identical with his Creator. And is daily proving itself by being able or have the ability of creating forms that are later called sons and daughters. When no man on earth or no mind on earth knows how to do it. Wasn't it God that knew how to build that kind of a farm? Yes. Then it must be godlike, this intelligence, for it's doing the same thing, reproducing form after form, and likeness in the image of the parents. It is this that we have been missing, and this is not in the skies, in the stars, or in the bowels of the earth, but it is within every human being that is living, ever lived, or will ever live. It's the only life that a man will ever know, and that life never ceases. In it, death is not known, but newness, or replacing worn-out house for a better, newer house with equipment now put into it that will serve the dweller of that house. Is all instruments, in musical or otherwise, are constantly improved only with one purpose, that a better service may be rendered, or better form of intelligence may be expressed through them. And is no different with the human body. The human body may go back to the minerals from which it came, only to come back and serve another purpose or another form of a human. While the life goes on building new forms, improving upon them constantly, and the mind that is placed in it, known as the ego, keeps on learning only to be a better servant unto this great intelligence that giveth birth. This seemed to be going on forever and ever. No man can conceive its end, nor no man can conceive its beginning. It's one of the things that probably will be a mystery so long as life is life. But life itself is not a mystery unto itself. It's only a mystery to those who do not understand it. But life do understand itself, for it goes on improving without a loss unto itself, but constantly expressing newness in every.
They looked into this. Life, and observed it from that angle. They found themselves. They know themselves, not fully. They're progressing, learning every day, same as we do. But they have discovered this particular phase of life. As a result, the progress has been very fast in comparison to our progress. Yes? The conscious part of oneself, the main part of one's being, the eternal part that will live and live and live. There is no end to it. They have given us some knowledge. We have some of this knowledge before, but not complete. They have given us, since they've been coming, this knowledge that we now have a complete picture of it. Pardon me. This knowledge is now known as science of life, which is a course that people have taken, and miracles they have performed with it. Not all the students did this, but those who really applied the laws, they understood them. or others to themselves, have performed what might be considered a miracle. Every cell in your body is an entity. According to some science, a human form is made up of 9 billion or more cells. Every cell has a heart or a center. This heart or a center is a pulsating unit of the cell action. It's no different than your heart in your body. When it stops pulsating, you are dead, as we call it. But it's different in the cell. That heart never stops pulsating. It pulsates on steady. It can be called an individual. It takes 300 billion people on Earth as individuals to make up the humanity of Earth. It takes 900 billion or so of cells to make up one man as a form. That then means there's 900 billion individuals making up one man, or 900 billion minds, tiny minds, making up the one mind, or 900 billion conscious points to make up the consciousness of the total body. You can then see how these are formed, what their job is. For instance, do you know what is to happen to the food that you eat? Your mind says you're hungry. You eat or drink, but after that, you don't know what's going to happen to it when it gets down into your body. Yet, you must admit, there's an intelligence there that do take care of that food you put down in your stomach. The happier you are, the quicker that food will be assimilated in your body, and you'll feel good from it. But should your mind go on a warpath of uncertainties, disturbance, madness, hates, jealousies, envies, and all those kind of things, that food will lay there in sour. You will call it indigestion, and run for soda, no matter what kind of food you will eat. Proves that the mind distorts the process of a natural law, and then it pays, because it is the mind that feels the unpleasant conditions, not your body. For it is your mind that is alerted to the pains and gases in your being. Let us say we take this up in a 3 different departments. The chemist that is to digest that food or extract the elements from that food for the good of the body quits working, goes on a strike. The gas man does the same thing, because any fermentation, souring of foods, will produce gases. Then the scavenger that throws off the waste matter after the essence has been extracted, he too goes on a strike. And you're in a nice fix, constipation, and that leads to other conditions. It's no wonder that so many humans are daily sick. The natural law will not blend or work with a contrary mind or disobedient mind. It'll make that mind pain. You call that pain, unpleasant feelings and so forth. But how else is that mind going to learn what it's doing to itself unless it's made to realize that the action of the day was wrong? As a result, it now has to face the wrongs it's done. And if it doesn't learn from that one wrong, it'll produce other wrongs, and naturally, the whole life of it will be wrong. Wrong because it will suffer from those wrongs. You see, the body is made up of these 900 billion cells. These 900 billion cells don't belong to your mind. Your mind is only allowed to live among them so that it will learn from them and be one with them. But when it separates itself from that, it goes on its own, has to learn the lesson the hard way, so to speak. So again, we come to this point. These tiny hearts, the atom of the cell, is eternal. It is the conscious part of which 900 billion conscious parts make up your total consciousness of yourself as a conscious being, the living being. Now these were before your body was created into or solidified into a form. These will go on and build another body, another, and keep on. They're eternal in themselves. Now for your mind to be eternal with them, it has to work with them, cooperate with their so-called natural laws or divine law. These tiny hearts in the cells of your body are actually divine. They are the deity of a total cosmos. It's through these that God works. It's through these that God expresses mercy and grace towards the mind. This is what Jesus recognized when he said, I of myself do nothing, but the Father that worketh through me do all the works. He recognized that if it wasn't for these cells, he as a mind couldn't do anything. It is because of these cells, making up this form and his mind, finally, that he is a form and a mind, or an individual, were able to go about in doing things. So God is right closer than your hands and feet, for he makes them up. He is the cells in that body that make up your arm, make up your feet, make up your being. And he's also the cells of your brain that do make up your mind. But the free will that brain or the mind was given, he did not go the way of no pain by submitting itself unto its father, or go independent of its father and to do endure the unpleasant condition through the lack of understanding, by acting or performing wrong acts that later have to be corrected. You cannot run away from yourself, nor can you run away from life. You have to face it. And the quicker one faces it, the quicker they will realize the glory of life. the beauty of life, and realize that they've been living in a palace of the Creator all this time, but never knew how to live in it. Now they know. And it's the only way you can learn this is through the conscious guidance, which is the eternal part that has been and will forever be, and will produce billions of forms as it has produced it in the past, it will produce it in the future. And that is the real you. Once the mind blends with it, like a drop of water blends with the ocean, then it becomes the ocean. That's why Jesus says, you must have the renewing of your mind, and be single-minded and not double-minded. The average person today living is double-minded. As like Paul said, when I want to do good, evil is present. That's one-minded. When I do evil, good is present. That's a second-minded. You can see what Jesus meant by the two minds. He says, be single-minded and not double-minded. Now, he also tells you of the renewing of your mind. Renewing of the mind would mean the same thing. Serve the Creator. If you serve the Creator, the purpose for which you were created, you will not be double-minded. You'll be single-minded, or you'll be serving single purpose. No one person can serve two masters at the same time. Jesus himself said that. But if you serve two masters at the same time, you're bound to shorten one or cheat one. You can only serve one purpose at a time. We all know that in this world as we are, we're trying to serve more than one purpose, more than two purposes, sometimes dozen purposes at one time. It's a no wonder that we're constantly confused and nothing is clear in our minds, even for 1 second. This is the debris that we must get rid of. But yet, if we go back to the consciousness and serve the conscious purpose, we'll be serving one mind. We'll be one-minded. We'll have all these other things cast out of us altogether. And whatever we will do, we'll do with a definite purpose, with a definite result. Truth is truth only when there is no doubt in it. There are many forms of truth, mild, half-truths, and so forth. But a truth in an absolute state is something that has no doubt in it at all. With that kind of a truth, with that kind of procedure, there is nothing impossible. You can do most anything. For it's the doubt that weakens the force that could manifest a manifestation. Jesus also says, have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you shall move mountains. Yes, it doesn't take much to move mountains or do great things. But the faith or confidence in oneself must be complete without the slightest doubt. For the slightest doubt would be like lack of water in a mustard seed that'll stop from growing. And these are the things that we must learn. These are the things that space people have learned and done wonders with it. And I'm glad to say that some of the students in this work now are doing wonders as well. From the beginning, it's really, you might say, surprising how the law works for those that apply it. Now, to live like man been living all these days, it doesn't make sense. Because to go to work through the day, come back in the evening, Maybe watch the TV. Maybe go to show. Maybe go to dinner. Go to bed. Go to sleep. Get up in the morning, do the same thing over again, and day in and out, and day in and in, the same over and over. If that be the purpose of life, there'd be no need of life. So the purpose must be admitted. Here is greater than that. It's unfortunate that a man has to slave or labor, as he does, for his bread and the hours that he puts in, and have very little hours left for himself to understand himself and know himself. But yet, the society will never be any better than what it is today, unless man is given that time, or takes that time, to better himself, to know himself. To better himself, he has to know himself. There's no other way. He can learn. For it is him, and not the other fellow, that has to answer the unpleasant feelings that come to his mind. Because it's the other fellow. If he thinks of the other fellow may not even benefit by his process of thinking that he taught for him. And in the meantime, he neglects his own thinking. It must be his own, because if he doesn't, he alone will feel the unpleasant conditions which his mind will go through as an ego. Yet, he can do all of this and serve his fellow man to a better understanding of his fellow man by understanding himself first. And that's what he should do before he can help the other fellow. And that understanding can only come through knowing his conscious self instead of the mental self. At present, he became a mental giant. But consciously, he's a puny seed that hadn't yet come through, because he's never watered it, never even given any thought to it. It's this seed that must grow now, while the other must reduce itself. And it's this seed that this mind of ours must unite with, balance up with, like the drop of water that finally finds its parent, which is the ocean of water, and goes on living with that ocean and becomes a power equal of that in that ocean. And that consciousness of ours is the ocean of the cosmos. It's the only power known, and the only intelligence known today, that moves the cosmos with a far greater accuracy and far greater intelligence than any human mind in the millions of years yet to come will ever know. And there is no aging or no death in it, but rather a constant newness and constant life, life perpetual, everlasting, eternal, without a beginning or an ending. Now, when you look at the picture this way, you will then understand why you want to live, and why for life, why you have been created, and the reason for it. But to benefit from all of this, you will have to, and there's no other way, you will have to lend yourself to that consciousness, and let the consciousness become as great as your mind, together. You'll have to become single-minded instead of double-minded, single vision instead of double vision, for God is but one, single, and not double. And you are living right now, already in that holy, holy life, for it's the life of God that is manifesting through all forms, including man. But that life is the conscious life, not the dead one. Mine is the dead one. That's why Jesus said, carnality was born to die. And carnality means your carnal mind. it has to die unto its own domain and lend itself or serve the consciousness that hath created it for a purpose of life expression of its own. That is the philosophy, and that is the only true way in returning back to the original self and original household by realizing your true self. Man, know thyself, and you shall know all things. Thank you.